disappointment, dealing with disappointment. So if you have a access to a computer and you can print off the handout, that would be good for you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to teach God's word here tonight. So let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, we just thank you for this evening. Father, we just thank you that we can gather together as saints of Grace Gospel Bible Church, Father, to hear your word taught. And we just thank you for your word, Father, that it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, Father, and that we can know it, we can study it, we can apply it in our lives, Father. We just thank you for that. We pray that we can understand more about disappointment, how we should respond when disappointment does come in our life, Father, as it often does over some small things and big things. We deal with disappointment, Father, just as humans, Father, we have that emotion, and we pray that we can be biblical about it, that we can think through when we are disappointed, Father, how to again respond, and to respond by faith, Father. We pray for that. We think of me again speaking tonight, and give me what I stand in need of to teach clearly and accurately, simply, Father, and practically here, Father. As I want to teach, give me even strength to do all that, Father. As you know, I'm tired and just weary from just a long day at work and other things, Father. I just pray that you'd give me what I stand in need of for all that. And we just thank you again for this evening. We just pray for it now in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So for the last few months, I've had an overwhelming sense of disappointment. You know, I love our country. I love our freedoms that we have in this country. I love the history of our country and the beacon of freedom, of liberty it has been in the past. And, you know, that beacon of liberty has been, throughout the world. And it's been pretty amazing, the history of the United States of America. And, you know, but this election, the corruption, the lack of people in power or even in the media that are willing to stand up and do the right thing is pretty sickening. It is disappointing, especially as I see the future outlook of our country and what that means for my boys if some of the agenda gets put into place. And, you know, obviously, you know, God can intervene in all of that, but just as emotionally, I've been disappointed with the progression of what's happened. You know, if you've noticed, my nutshell nuggets in the past few months have been about these things. I've had to challenge my thinking and decide ultimately what my confidence would be in. You know, is my confidence in a country, a president, a constitution, or is my confidence in Christ and his word? God made us with emotions. Sometimes emotions can be overpowering. They can be overwhelming. You know, and that we would be well to guard against it. I've been very distracted in my Christian life with all of this disappointment. Disappointment, if not checked, can lead you down the wrong path. And can any of you relate in all of that? You know, maybe you haven't been disappointed with our country the past few months. You know, to me, that would be very disappointing if you weren't disappointed. I'm kidding. But, you know, disappointments can be frequent during the day. Some things are big disappointments and some things are small disappointments. You know, either way, they get your eyes off of Christ and are not beneficial to you and me in the Christian life. And can everyone see my picture when I'm speaking? I hope you can. So tonight we're going to have a little devotional. I don't know how long this is going to be. I kept adding more and more as I'm a product of Pastor Dave, of Pastor Rox here. So who knows how long this will be. I'm hoping that it'll be less than an hour, but we'll see how it goes. But it'll be a devotional type message on dealing with disappointment. And so I hope you're not disappointed with it. So what are the realities? So as we think about disappointment, what are the realities that you should know concerning disappointment? And the first item I have on there is, what is disappointment? And Merriam-Webster defines disappointment as disappointment is an emotion of being defeated, an expectation or hope. So it's an emotion, and it, and that emotion comes to light when you've been defeated from some form of expectation or hope that wasn't met. You know, God made us with emotions, and we have a lot of them as humans. We've got emotions, and God made us that way. And so how are we to respond when emotions come into our life? Disappointment is one of those emotions that we have. It can be an overwhelming emotion. You know, you married people, think about the first time that your mate didn't live up to an expectation that you had of them. And how did that make you feel when they did not live up to your expectation? You know, no need to raise any hands here tonight talk through Zoom, because I know we all have failed each other at different times, and we've all failed our mates. We've all failed our friends. And, you know, and disappointment is definitely something that we deal with. You know, so should the believer, though, in Jesus Christ live by emotions? And absolutely not. You know, emotions should never be a believer's guide to live by. Yes, we have emotions, but they are not to be the guide by which we live by. You know, just because we have emotions doesn't make them superior to God's word and God himself, and they are not to be a guide to live by. You know, our heart and thoughts are tainted by sin, and so they are not trustworthy to live by. God's word is what is the believer's trustworthy source for a guide to live by, and that's what we need to do when we have emotions. So we need to go to God for understanding as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, and some of those verses about not walking by our feelings, but trusting in the Lord are as follows. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. So the heart is not a good source to live by. Our emotions come from our heart. Those are tainted again by sin. And so emotions are not a good source to live by. And so our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You know, and so Proverbs 29 here is saying that the fool lives by their emotions, and they let their feelings dictate how they even speak and what they do in their lives. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You know, foolish people always think that they're doing the right thing. And it's, you know, fools do what is right in their own eyes. And, you know, a lot of that is living by their own feelings and emotions. But he who heeds counsel is wise. And the counsel comes from the word of God. It comes from God himself. And so that is how a believer should live in their Christian life. And we know Proverbs 3:5-7 very well. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's who we are to depend upon. That's who are we to live by. And that's our guide that God wants us to have. And lean not on your own understanding. So don't lean on your own thoughts. Don't lean on your own conclusions, your understanding, your feelings. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 is another verse for us. You know, we are to not walk by sight, but we are to walk by faith in our Christian life. You know, and faith is really, I saw a commentary wrote this about 2 Corinthians 5:7. You know, it's easy to look back and praise God for what he's done, you know, and humans have that benefit of being able to look back and seeing how God has intervened in our lives and sovereignly acted in our lives. And it's always a treat to look back and see how God has lived and worked in our lives. But that is not faith. You know, true faith believes ahead of time what can only be seen by looking back. And so as we walk by faith, it's trusting in the Lord. It's depending upon him. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. We are to look to God, and God will give us, he'll direct our path. He'll But that is all to be done by faith, because we ultimately don't know what's going to happen in the future necessarily in our lives. We know the master plan, but we don't necessarily know what's going to happen in our lives tomorrow or next week or whatever. And so we are to live by faith and not by sight, because our sight, again, is only on based on our understanding, and we are not to live based on our understanding. You know, we're called to not live by our feelings, but by faith. Our faith is rock solid if we have placed it in God, the unchanging, perfect, eternal, sovereign one. And this faith is founded on the infallible, certain, life-changing, authoritative word of God. Scripture tells us how to live and what to believe. This is what should govern and determine how we speak, how we think, how we act, not our ever-changing, easily influenced feelings. Our faith is not blind, but informed and guided by God's perfect word. Now, sometimes these two can be mixed up. You know, we try to live by faith and by feeling. And we may say, you know, I'm going to marry this person, even though the Bible tells me not to marry an unbeliever, because you know what? It just feels right. You know, I won't forgive this person, even though the Bible tells me to forgive, because you know what? I just don't really feel like I can or that I should. We often allow our feelings to dictate our stance with God rather than what His word already declares about us. I don't feel forgiven by God, so He must still be angry with me. I don't feel joy, so I will not worship God. I don't feel God's presence, even though I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I don't feel God when I do my Bible study, so therefore I'm no longer going to study God's word, or I must be doing something wrong. God calls us to live instead by faith. This means we act not based on our feelings, but on what God calls us to do. We don't believe something because of how it makes us feel, but what Scripture says about it. You know, and so we need to guard against feeling. We need to guard against that overwhelming sense. When a feeling or emotion comes into play, it's very powerful, and it can have a great influence on our thinking and what we do in our lives. And we need to guard against that and remember that God wants us to look to Him. God wants us to look to His word and let that be the source of how we live and how we make decisions in our life. Because when we make decisions based on feeling or emotion, that is oftentimes the decisions that we regret, or decisions that lead us into a path that it's hard to get out of. And so we want to make sure we guard against that, you know. And so, you know, especially as we deal with disappointment, you know, and so oftentimes that comes through on marriage, you know, and, you know, the husband doesn't clean the floor just right. So the wife gets upset and nags the husband or yells or that type of thing. Or, you know, guys, you know, we expect some things to happen, you know, or we want to get, have some intimacy or whatever else. And when that doesn't happen, oftentimes we get disappointed, and clouds our judgment, and sometimes that leads us into something where we don't love our wives or whatever when we should. And so, again, we should not live by emotions, you know. And so another point here that I wanted to make about realities of disappointment, you know, disappointment is not necessarily sin. You know, emotion isn't sin, but it can definitely turn into sin, you know. And so how we handle that disappointment is where sin can be introduced. You know, the sin nature will constantly tempt us to do its will. Sin nature can cause our can use our emotions against us and lead us down the wrong path. You know, if we feel disappointment, evaluate it against God's word and test who you have had your confidence or trust in. And more than likely, you've had your confidence or your trust in something that is outside of God's word. Disappointment can be a test for you to evaluate who you're trusting in. And oftentimes that's how we can even judge emotions and that type of thing. Obviously something happened where it caused an emotional reaction, and maybe that disappointment is even in a, maybe we are genuinely in the right to be disappointed. Even though we could be right to, you know, to be disappointed. God still wants you to act based on his word and not based on emotion. So far, we have covered the meaning of disappointment and why we should not live by our emotions. You know, as you think about past disappointments in your own life, why were you disappointed? You know, the question is, why do believers get disappointed? You know, and two key reasons for disappointment come to mind. You know, putting expectations and hope in people or circumstances. Those are the two key reasons for disappointment. When we put our expectations or hope in people and or circumstances, you know, and ultimately the disappointment comes into play when either people or circumstances do not meet your expectations or hope. And that's where disappointment comes into play. Humans are fallible and this world is corrupted by sin. You will let people down just like people let you down. The world system will let you down. Our government will let you down. Our leaders will let you down. Just look at the past election and the corruption in our political class, and you can see the world system is not perfect. It's not wrong to put expectations on people. You know, when you get married, you expect your spouse not to have an affair. You know, if they have an affair, I think you would be disappointed or have a feeling of disappointment, among other things. You know, I would probably have a feeling of committing murder. You know, and so again, emotions aren't wrong, but how we channel those emotions and how we respond or react to those emotions is what and when sin can be introduced. I put confidence in people to do the right thing in our country, and they didn't, and they don't ongoing here. I was disappointed in that. My confidence and hope were unbalanced compared to the trust and confidence that I should place in God's word and plan. And you know, and so I had to check my emotion of disappointment. When things don't go our way, disappointment sets in. And that's our biggest problem. When things don't go our way, or they don't go the way that we think they should. And oftentimes that's our biggest problem. You know, and as you think about disappointment, you know, you can be disappointed in little things or large things. You know, ways that we can be disappointed are all over the map. Our food doesn't come out hot, and so we're disappointed, or our kids don't behave in public, or our clothes don't get washed when we need them. My wife can attest to that. I sometimes get disappointed there. The bonus wasn't as much as we thought. The message on Sunday didn't meet my needs, or even tonight, or on and on and on, right? And so I took some time Googling some disappointment memes, and I found some funny ones. But my wife will tell you, when we married, she got a PhD at the same time. A pretty huge disappointment, PhD. Oh boy. Expectation versus reality, doing anything in our home with my husband. You know, oftentimes this is the picture on the left here of when we do a home project with our spouse. You know, this is going to be a good time. It's like the fixer upper couple. They never fight. Chip and Joanna here. And, you know, they're the ideal, but this is oftentimes reality, where we're arguing with our spouse, or things don't go according to expectation. Me watching my husband quietly close the dishwasher after taking just one clean dish out. You know, the wife is expecting the husband to unload the dishwasher, and they just take what they need. Yeah, that's funny. Here's a common disappointment. You know, this is oftentimes when we eat fast food, it's a lot of times disappointing. Or when the ice cream truck went by and it didn't slow down, that's disappointment. Just when you think you've reached the end of the rainbow, right? And reached that pot of gold, a big lightning strike hits you and you're disappointed. Or this guy, my burger was supposed to be here an hour ago, and obviously he likes his burgers there. You know, but, you know, obviously these are funny memes, but, you know, disappointment is obviously very serious as well. You know, maybe a friend, a close friend let you down that you would never thought would let you down, or your spouse let you down. And, you know, that those are serious things that bring serious pain and issues in your life. And, you know, sometimes things can happen in your life that you could have a lifetime disappointment towards. And, you know, those types of things, again, affect us, and we need to be wise about how we respond to that disappointment. You know, another question I have is, you know, can you be disappointed in God? You know, and you can be. You know, if we think that God is not meeting our expectations, we can be disappointed in God. You know, I prayed to God about something and God did not do what I thought he should do. Therefore, I'm disappointed in what God didn't do. We thought that we were praying in line with his will, but he didn't answer our prayers when we wanted, and he didn't answer them. You know, God didn't come through as we hoped he would. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, some stories of in the Old Testament, how I could bring in disappointment and bring some examples and illustrations in. And, you know, a couple of things come to mind. We're going to go over those tonight. But, you know, you think about Moses and just the story of Moses and how just the education and the upbringing that he had. And he wanted to defend and deliver his people, and he intervened, and he eventually was being hunted, and he had to escape Egypt for 40 years. God tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I want you to deliver the Israelites." And so he goes and he meets with Pharaoh the first time. And, you know, I'm sure Moses is probably thinking, you know, God's going to perform, God's going to intervene, God's going to deliver the people. And so after the first experience with Pharaoh does not let the Israelites go. And not only that, Pharaoh made it very difficult on the Israelites. He made them continue to make brick. You know, the Egyptians were providing straw for the making of the brick. And so Pharaoh said, you know what, let's withhold the straw. You still need to keep the quota up on bricks. And so the Israelites had to go and get stubble and provide their own straw for the bricks. And they didn't meet their quota. They were beaten. And so the Israelites were unhappy with all of this. And here Moses comes to God in Exodus 5, 22 and 23 and says, "So Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all.'" And so Moses is hanging his head, ahead, and he's disappointed. He thought God was going to intervene. And I'm sure he maybe thought that God was going to intervene the first time and get his people out. And that wasn't according to God's plan. But, you know, Moses obviously here was probably disappointed. But you can see here he did the right thing. What did he do? He went to God and expressed his thoughts to God. And what did God do? He eventually delivered the Israelites. It only took 10 different times, but God ultimately fulfilled what he told Moses. But Moses just had to trust God for the plan. You know, another Moses event came to mind in Numbers 11, 10 through 15. You know, the Israelites were in the desert. They were complaining about not having any meat to eat. And so here Moses is talking, Numbers 11, 10 through 15. "Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent." He's got all these Israelites complaining to him. I'm sure it was just a very depressing moment. "And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I beget them, that you should say to me, "Carry them in your bosom as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers"? Where am I going to get the meat to give to all these people? How am I going to meet their needs? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I'm not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness." You know, and so here Moses was, I'm sure he is getting nagged to death by all these people. they wanted meat to eat, and he wasn't able to provide their needs. So he goes to God, and you know what? He's depressed. I'm sure he's very discouraged. He's disappointed in the Israelites and all the complaining, and to the point where he's just like, you know what? Just kill me now. It'd be a lot easier to deal with that than these people. And what does God do? God listens to Moses's plea. You know, Moses again does the right thing. He goes to God and vents and casts his care upon God. And what does God do? God provides elders and people to help carry the burden for Moses. And he puts people in place that can help Moses lead the nation. And so, you know, again, you know, Moses was very discouraged. He was disappointed, but God helped him, you know, and that's a lesson for us too, that we always need to go to God. Even if we are disappointed, we always need to go to God as well, you know. And if we put our confidence in someone or something and it doesn't meet our expectations or goal according to our plan, we get disappointed. We saw that even with Moses here, you know. So should you react to that disappointment? And if not, you know, how should you respond to that? And our next item here is, you know, what happens when you react to disappointment? And you know, even we saw this with Moses. You know, he was depressed, he was defeated, you know, and he even wanted to be put to death. You know, disappointment can be a seed of doubt that interferes with our faith. Disappointment can sound harmless, but it can lead us to stop our spiritual growth and make us bitter and defeated. You know, I found an interesting article on disappointment as I was getting ready for this message. And I found a little a graphic that which it's kind of interesting, you know, if you think about the progression of disappointment as it interacts with your life. You know, and I found this here. You know, oftentimes, you know, you start with disappointment. It's the tip of the iceberg there. And then discouragement sets in, and then disillusionment, depression, and defeat. You know, and you know, this is exactly where Satan wants you. He wants you defeated. He wants you miserable. He wants you outside of God's will. He wants you, defeated. You know, and he, you know, even we saw Moses was defeated, and you know, that's where Satan wants us. And you know, we don't want that in our Christian lives. You know, that's where Satan wants us and uses our emotions to do things that we shouldn't. And you know, so that's not how we should react to disappointment. You know, we are to we'll get to that. We are to respond. And a couple other examples that I was thinking about of how people responded to disappointment, and actually I'm not going to go over them, but you can read them in your devotions this week. Look at the strangers on the road to Emmaus. You know, these strangers were expecting God to be the Messiah, be the king, you know, and set up the kingdom and do all these different things. And they were hoping for that. But, you know, the leaders killed Jesus, and they were kind of bumming. They were on the road here, and Jesus talks to them, and, you know, and he calls them out. He says, "Oh, foolish ones," you know, and so he kind of chews them out for their disappointment and not understanding that God had a greater plan at play. And so then, you know, obviously they were told about Christ and what happened, and, you know, and they understood why Christ had to come and why he had to die. And so you think of, you could read that on your own. And even Mount Carmel, with Elijah there in 1 Kings 18 through 19, you know, so Elijah sets up the competition, if you will. And so he's like, you know what, let's go against the people of the leaders of Baal there, the worshipers of Baal, and let's have set up an altar, and whoever rains fire from heaven basically and lights the sacrifice, the altar up, is the true God. And so Elijah and the people of Baal there, they set it up, and they could not get fire to come from their God. And so then Elijah takes over. He wets the whole altar down, all the wood down. He puts a trough around the altar with a bunch of water in it. He wets it all down a couple different times. And then he prays, and he's expecting a national revival. He's expecting all of the people to just give up Baal and worship Christ, and even the leaders of Israel to do all that. And that was his expectation there in verse 37 of chapter 18. And it doesn't go. I mean, it does go as planned, right? So the fire burns up the altar, and the people say that, you know, God is the true God. But what happened? The leaders there of Israel wanted to put Elijah to death. And so Elijah goes on the run, and he goes into the woods there, and he's just telling God, you know what, I just want to die. You know, and so he reacted to all that disappointment as well, and to the point where he just wanted to die and just be done. And, you know, oftentimes disappointment, things that don't go to our plan, can lead us to defeat and misery. And that's not what God wants for us. You know, and God even helped Elijah. He told him what to do, and God came to his aid there in 1 Kings 19. So you can read that story. It's a pretty cool story about how God intervened. You know, Elijah and the strangers, they had disappointment, but God helped them through that disappointment. You know, so we obviously don't want to react to disappointment and go down the road of defeat and giving up in our Christian lives. And so God wants us to respond to disappointment. You know, and Jenna actually sent me a quote here from Corrie Ten Boom that she found. I think it was really good. You know, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. If you look at God, you'll be at rest. You know, and that's how we are to respond to disappointment. We are to look to God, and we'll be at rest. Now, think of disappointment as a test, again, permitted by God to see if you will continue trusting Him, if you'll continue walking with Him and continue to do His will, and if you're going to continue to believe in His word, and especially that He is good. You know, the number one way to respond when disappointed is, again, to walk by faith, trusting the Lord. You know, any trial in your life needs to be responded to the same way. You must respond by faith. Faith is looking past that circumstance that you're in and trusting a promise or a precept from the word of God or something about God that you can put your confidence and trust into. You know, the bottom line question that you must answer is, do you believe in what God has said, what He has done, and what He will do for you? If you believe it, then you will respond and not react when things you don't like happen to you. I believe that is the hardest thing in the Christian life, reckoning truth by faith so that you can do God's will, God's way for His glory consistently. In other words, applying the word of God in your life and walking by faith. You know, a couple verses here on trusting the Lord as we go, you know, Galatians 5:16, again, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, the lust of the flesh will always be there. The lust of the flesh will always want to tempt us to do things of Satan, and our flesh will want us to lead us that way. But Paul here is challenging the Galatian believers who were dealing with license and legalism to walk in the Spirit. And they don't have to have sin or live by sin in their lives, you know, and that's what God desires of us, is to walk in the Spirit when we're tempted and things aren't going our way. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, you know, there's an emotion, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so God here wants us to be strong and of good courage, continue to trust the Lord when things in life get difficult and challenging. Psalm 118:8-9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. you know, when we put confidence in man again, we're going to be disappointed. Man can't live up to all of our needs. No way can even your spouse meet all of your needs. And so it's better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes or people in power in our government. Again, it's foolish to put confidence in our leaders, because ultimately they're not perfect. They're fallible. They're going to do things that aren't what you expect. And so they're going to disappoint you. And so it's better to trust the Lord than to put your confidence in those people. Romans 15, 13, though, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. You know, so we can have joy. We can have peace when we, again, walk with the Lord and depend upon him, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, this hope is, you know, this is the hope that God wants you to have, is to have hope in him, hope in the future that he has promised for you, and to put that confidence, your trust, your expectation in God's word. And you can put that hope and confidence and trust in God, because that's where God wants you to do all that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 7, again, we've seen this already, but, you know, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, and again, don't be wise in your own eyes, because that's where disappointment will come in and discourage you and lead you, again, where you don't want to go. So how should you respond to disappointment? Again, walk by faith, trust in the Lord. Obviously, that's the number one way, because that's how we are to live our Christian lives. Whenever we have issues in our life, that's how God wants us to live our life. You know, and another way to respond to disappointment is to pray. You know, we saw already that Moses talked to God. You know, Moses went to God when he was disappointed with the people. He was disappointed with the plan. What did Moses do? Moses went to talk to God. You know, and that's what prayer is, talking to God and expressing your thoughts, your feelings, your care, you're casting all of that on God. And that's what God wants you to do when you are disappointed. You know, even Elijah, he went and talked to God, or God went to talk to him and to encourage him. You know, and God wants to hear from us. And so when we're disappointed, pray. And so a couple of verses on that. As we think, you know, again, First Peter 5, 7, you know, we are to cast our care or cast our anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to remove those issues in our life. And again, he wants us to have hope in him and the plan and things like that. And so he wants us to, again, go to him in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to even be disappointed. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God wants to hear from us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so this is what God wants you to do. God wants you to go to him in prayer. God wants to take the burdens from you. We sang, God is our refuge. You know, I hope in him. God is the refuge that we need in our Christian lives. We are to go to him when we're disappointed, when things don't go the way we think they should go. We need to go to him before we have too much discouragement and disappointment in our lives. God wants us to go to him as our refuge. You know, and ultimately, I think, you know, when you're responding to disappointment, is again here, rejoice always. When we rejoice in disappointment, a lot of times that's the antidote for disappointment is to give thanks. And that's our last response here to disappointment, is to give thanks. No matter what we are going through, we can find something to be thankful for. First and foremost, we can be thankful because we belong to God. If we have trusted Jesus Christ, God is our Heavenly Father. He knows everything we are going through. He is the only one in the universe who can make bad things work together for our good. So we thank him for his presence, his love, his blessings. We can rejoice that he has good plans for our future, that we receive his daily care, no matter how dark our circumstances seem. And Psalm 73:23-26 says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You know, the psalmist had learned that when you have nothing left but God, you realize that God is enough. Your questions will not be answered. Your circumstances may not be improved. The person you set your heart on may not live up to your expectations, but God is the strength of your heart and your portion forever, as verse 26 there says, "But God is the strength of my heart and portion forever." You know, the prophet Habakkuk learned the same lesson as well. You know, after God revealed to him that Babylon would conquer and destroy his country, Habakkuk concluded that no matter what his circumstances were, he would find his joy in God. His words could and should be ours as well. Habakkuk 3:17 and 18 says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." You know, and here Habakkuk is realizing that, you know what, I don't need those things, you know, and circumstances, the things in my life, you know, they'll fail me at times, you know, but, you know, God will always be there. He's the joy of my salvation. I can always rejoice in the Lord. You know, God would have us respond by faith, seeking him via prayer and giving thanks to the Lord for all he has done for us when we have disappointment in our life. You know, I was thinking of some other things from the Word of God that could help challenge our mind when dealing with disappointments. And the next section here, I had to have an R, having another R here for a point. Reducing disappointment is the next section here. You know, and so as we think about some challenges here for your thoughts, you know, I put some challenges down, some things that you can be thinking about when you're dealing with disappointment, and some verses here. You know, you may have some different verses that you're thinking about or that means something to you when you're disappointed. And I encourage you to view those verses and to review them and to get them down. But you know, these are verses that have come to my mind when dealing with disappointment. And so, and some thoughts here as to think about. And you know, so the first one here is, you know, what should your hope be in? You know, obviously your hope should be in God, and it shouldn't be in, again, circumstances and things that are in people for the most part, because again, those people or those circumstances will let you down. But you know what? God will never let you down, and our hope should be in him. You know, Jeremiah 17:5-10 says, "Thus says the Lord," and it gives the difference there between hoping in man and putting our confidence in man and what that leads to, and then putting our confidence in God and what that leads to. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength." You know, so if we are to put our confidence in man or our circumstances and live the Christian life the way we want to live it, again, that's not what God wants. We're going to be, there's a cursing there. "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." Because ultimately that's what we're doing, right? We're not doing what God wants us to do. We're not in his will. And that is not where God wants us. You know, "For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and salt land which is not inhabited." But on the other side, "Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." You know, that's where God wants us to put our confidence. He wants us to put our trust, our dependence on God and on our Savior. "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which will spread out its root by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. You know, so we don't have to have some of those emotions, and they don't have to dictate how we live, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And so we are the hope in God. We are not to make man our strength. We are not to make our flesh our strength. We are not to live the Christian life the way we want to live it. God wants us to live the Christian life his way, and continuing to walk with him, depend upon him, and being in his will. Another aspect here is, who are you trusting in? And you know, that's you know, again, disappointment is comes when we put our trust and our confidence outside of God and his word. And so, you know, when Isaiah 26:3 says, you know, you'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, so there's perfect peace available to the Christian, the believer, who again trusts in the Lord. And so we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be disappointed and let that affect our lives, because if we trust in the Lord, God has promised perfect peace for those who trust him. Another thing here to think about is, you know, what is your perspective? You know, do you have an eternal perspective? Is your perspective on heavenly things or on earthly things? You know, Colossians 3:1-4 says, if then you are raised with Christ, and you are, so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been raised with Christ. And so what is a believer supposed to do? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. You know, that's where God is, sitting at the right hand of God. We are to think heavenly thoughts. We are to think and put our mind and our perspective on eternal things. And that's what God wants. God doesn't want us to set our mind on things of the earth. You know, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you die and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So what is your perspective? You have a earthly, temporal perspective. If you do, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be you're not going to like what you think about. But if you have an eternal perspective, you're thinking things, you're thinking heavenly thoughts, you're thinking eternal thoughts, that's where God wants, you know. And so that's our perspective that we should have as well. Our next point here is, disappointments are consequences of sin-cursed world. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Why would we expect more from it? You know, in 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God. So we're a God. So, you know, and so that's a good thing. That's our position in him. And the whole world, though, lies under the sway of the wicked one. You know, we are ambassadors in this world. We are passing through. This world is not our home. And so we need to be thinking that as well. And so, again, why do we put so much hope and confidence in earthly things that, you know, that lie under the sway of the wicked one? So when disappointments come, when we put our confidence in those things, why are we surprised when we're disappointed by it? Because the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And so we're never going to be pleased. We're never going to be pleased with when we put our, again, mind on earthly things. God wants us to be putting our mind on him and his word, as that is where we will not be disappointed. If your circumstances are, or the people around you do not change, what will you do? You know, and so maybe you're in a situation where you're constantly being disappointed. Things, you know, you're in a marriage, or you're in a situation at work, or you know, you've got friends that are around you that are coworkers or something, that people are just constantly letting you down and disappointing you, and you know, things don't change. What are you going to do? You know, and so what is the perspective that you're going to have? 2 Corinthians 12:8-9 gives us that perspective. concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And so Paul was given a thorn in the flesh here. And so he pleaded with God three times. Hey, you know what? Can you remove this? I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be disappointed anymore. Can you just remove me from this situation that I'm in? I don't like it anymore. But you know what? What does God say? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And so your situation may not improve, but you know what? God has provided grace to you to meet your every need. His grace for you is sufficient to meet you in that need. And so while your circumstances may not be desirable, or the people that are around you may not be desirable or constantly letting you down, you are to, again, focus on Jesus Christ. His grace will be sufficient to meet your very need, despite the circumstance that you're in. If someone disappoints you, forgive and move on, you know, and that's how we are to react, you know, and or to respond again by from disappointment, because people will let you down. And so when you fester on that, when you become bitter for someone letting you down, that's where Satan wants you. He wants you bitter. He wants you disappointed. He wants you in that state. He wants division amongst believers. He wants that. And you know, if someone lets you down, you are to forgive and move on. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know, so when we are bitter and we don't let things go, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And now, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus now becomes estranged from us. We don't get the benefit of our position in Christ, by whom you are sealed with the day of for the day of redemption, the Spirit of God. Verse 31 there, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know what? But maybe you're thinking, you know what? I don't feel like it. But that is not, again, how we are to live the Christian life. Whether or not we feel like it or not, God is commanding us here to forgive one another. And you know, if God had the same attitude that we do at times when we are bitter and we don't forgive one another, if God had that same attitude, would God forgive us? And he wouldn't. You know, Christ forgave us. He died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. God forgave all of it. And no matter what sins we've committed, God has forgiven that. And so, you know, oftentimes though, our feelings get in the mix of things, and we don't let things go. We don't forgive and move on. But God wants us to forgive and move on. Don't let the emotion of disappointment turn into sin, you know, and so again, if we feel that sense of disappointment, again, remember to walk by faith, to pray about it, to rejoice, and to give thanks. And so otherwise, Satan will capture you first in that moment there, and you will do the will of Satan, even though you will remain saved and all those different things. But at that point, the sin nature takes over when we give in to those things. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we don't want to give the opportunity for that to happen. And so we are to, again, don't let disappointment turn in to sin. Will you be content with where the Lord has you and what he has provided to you? You know, oftentimes we're disappointed when things don't go our way, or we think that we deserve more than what we do, or different things like that. But you know, God has provided all of our needs. And Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things you have. You know, God will never leave you and nor forsake you. God has provided all of your needs. And he wants to do that. And he does do that. And we are to be content with those things. And when we get distracted and when we're not content, that's when we get disappointed, because we feel like we should have that big house on the acreage or whatever, or the Corvette or whatever it is in your life that you want. And so when we're not content, we get disappointed. But God wants us to be content with the things that He's provided to us. Another aspect here is you need to remember that God is good. He's using this very moment, and maybe even that moment of a disappointment, for your spiritual good. Psalm 27:13 says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You know, it's always good to see what God has done, you know, and that's one of the benefits, again, of us as humans. We can see how God has used, been sovereign in our life, and God is good, and He works all things together for good. Psalm 107:8-9, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." And so God is good. That's one of His, you know, when I taught on the goodness of God, if you think of all of His attributes, the summation of all of His attributes means that God is good, you know. And so God is a good God. He never has your worst in mind. He always has your best in mind. And the things that He does in your life, sovereignly, He does for our good, even though at times we don't think of it as our good. It's meant to be for our good. And God, again, works all things together for good to those who are in Christ. You know, and so we need to continue to remember that God is good. And so we don't have to be disappointed when things don't go our way, because God is good. Keep your eyes on Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, it's oftentimes we get our eyes off of Christ and bad things happen. You know, and so Hebrews 12:1-2 is right after the Hall of Fame of Faith and chapter 11 there, about all these men and women who have walked by faith in their lives and how they were victorious and all of that. And Hebrews 12:1-2 says, you know, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight." And maybe a weight for you is disappointment or things that in your life that you can lay aside that are impacting your life, and the sin there. And I believe this sin there is, you look at the context of Hebrews, is unbelief. And oftentimes unbelief is our biggest issue, because when we don't believe God and we don't believe His word, that's when things like disappointment comes into play, you know. And so, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and that sin of unbelief can easily ensnare us. "And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And we are to continue to look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And, you know, as we keep our eyes on Jesus and not on our circumstances or the people that have let us down, and if we put our eyes instead on Jesus Christ, God will, that's where God wants us, and that's where we won't be disappointed, and we can have a rest in our Christian life. You know, and so the last point here again is, are you thankful and content? You know, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's always good to remember to be thankful for every situation that you're in, and be content. And so we again know that God has given us trials. God has provided different things in our life, and He wants us to pass. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to continue to walk by faith, trusting Him. He wants us to cast our care upon Him. He wants us to be thanking Him for all that He continues to do. And we don't have to be disappointed in our lives. Disappointment, again, is emotion that could be an indicator of whom you are ultimately trusting in. Do things always have to go your way, Or would you consider letting God and his word lead you in your life? God has given us promises to claim. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He is good and he only does good. He is worthy of our trust, and our expectation should be on him and what he plans to do for us. Maybe like me, you need to let go of some disappointment. Rejoice in the Lord, pray, walk with him. Ultimately, we can trust God, and it is awesome to know that our lives are in his hands. And so with that, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you that that we can look at it, even how we want to know how we can respond to disappointment. When things don't go our way, when we set our mind on things that are earthly and circumstances that don't go our way, we get disappointed. And we know that you instead want us to continue to look to you. You want us to walk with you, depend upon you. And so we don't have to be disappointed, because you will never disappoint us. You will never ultimately disappoint us, as you again have a plan for us. All things work together for good. We just need to keep trusting you, depending upon you, walking with you, and we can live our Christian lives that way, Father. We thank you for that. We just thank you again for this evening. Thank you again for this study. Now we pray for it all in Christ's name. Amen.